Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Dante Shanti, who is the creator of a workshop called The Intuitive Voice. She has a practice extending 25 years back, helping people with development of their intuition, and many other things on her website, including music videos. Welcome, Danae. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Great. Thank you, Susan. Thanks for the kind introduction as well. Happy to be here.
So, would you like to tell our listening audience a little bit about your background and how you, woke up to your intuition?
Sure. So, back in 1987, there was this event called the Harmonic Convergence. And at that time, I was the executive director of the Chamber of Commerce in Southampton, Long Island. And I didn't really have much attention on things of a spiritual or cosmic nature. But a friend of mine insisted that I come with her to this morning meditation down at the ocean, and I did. And all I know is I went from functioning one way at the beginning of that meditation to a very different way by the end of the meditation. And what happened for me was, and it's not like in the meditation they were instructing us to do anything. It was just a welcoming to come and get still and breathe and relax and, you know, meditate. So at the end of the meditation, I found that I was hearing celestial music in my head and seeing light forms across the sky, like archangels and angels, like not in my third eye, but literally like how you look up at clouds. And they weren't clouds. They were pure, huge angelic beings. And when I looked back at the beach, I could see the light and aura around people. So I, of course, had no frame of reference for what was going on. I thought I was crazy. And I was in an altered state like that for 3 days. Yeah. So what happened for me there was an awakening of sensitivities. It's called clairvoyance, clairaudience, and clairsentience. And it gave me the capacity to perceive from a much more attuned and intuitive place into the reality of being a human being and what that means to even be a, if you will, a cosmic human being, and how to start to move in the world in a way of deep, deep listening where the education and the wisdom would start to come through my body's messages to me, my feeling, my heart intelligence, and my listening, you know, receiving messages in meditation. And then I began to practice being available to serve other people with these capacities. And that was back in 1987, and here we are today, and everything's still revved up and working well.
Yeah, I think a lot of us during that time frame had similar awakenings. I know mine was actually delayed till 1990 because I was becoming a plastic surgeon, and I think they put my awakening on hold until I completed certain things. But I was guided in meditation to quit my job, and I was a plastic surgeon earning about $500,000 a year, so I just quit. And then I meditated, worked with a clairvoyant group 3 times a week, fasted and became vegetarian when I was eating, but fasted a lot, and then went through a similar awakening. And I think a huge number of us about that time, you know, between the harmonic convergence and maybe 91, were guided to take a little bit of time off and go through that shift. And, I, you know, you begin to realize that there's quite a spiritual plan here. In other words, a bunch of people woke up at that time to help others wake up in the, you know, in the next 30 years or so. And, you know, it's just very interesting that that all happened. So, you know, this radio show is about helping people get access to the guidance that you were talking about. A lot of people don't even realize it exists. I mean, they think that the only way to get through life is logically, you know, and having a left brain orientation. But, you know, there is an alternative view where we can, through our probably a higher dimensional aspect, bring in information not known in the third dimension to use for our decision making. And, of course, when you have access to that kind of information, you know, I believe people like Warren Buffett have that kind of access. You know, Steve Jobs certainly had it. You know, many people have this connection. Many great musicians have it. Many great authors. And, you know, you yourself bring in, you know, music lyrics, which are, you know, can be, you just sort of bring them in. I mean, you're bringing them in from outside of this dimension. And so most great works of art, right. Yeah.
Right.
So most great works come in through this method. I mean, how else could, you know, Mozart create the things he was creating at his age? You know, he has to be able to bring them in.
Yeah. I find a lot of people when they're hearing this kind of information, it's not grounded for them. You know, like I can imagine someone saying, well, you know, I'm not a Susan or a Danae, or perhaps from the great master's perspective, I'm not a Mozart or a Bach. And so they separate themselves, making us special and them not special. And it's very interesting, but even in my vocal coaching business, I have people showing up who believe that other people get to sing and be on stage or in recording studios, but they don't because they're just not talented. And the first thing we do is get rid of all that negative thinking and self-doubt, because that's not true. We're all sentient beings, and we all have these miraculous bodies that we're wearing that we move around in. And, you know, just like getting into a car, you don't just sit in a car for the first time and assume you know how to drive it. Right. So when all these faculties are a natural, organic part of our design, it's part of the human functionality. Some of us had dramatic awakenings, and for other people, it's a slow unfolding. And so I believe that every single human being is designed with the capacity for accessing of those higher dimensional states. And it's a matter of, you know, we have to learn how to drive the car. Well, we have to learn how to operate the vehicle as well. It's the same thing, and it's a matter of how do we get to do that? And too many times I've seen people isolate themselves away from that possibility, either, you know, judging it as woo-woo or saying, well, I don't have that kind of skill or challenge, or, well, that's just people who are, you know, in the spiritual world. And none of that is true. Those kinds of thoughts are very isolating and separating. And I feel like where the world is going now, and as you so brilliantly mentioned earlier, like we were, you know, we wake up in waves, and I believe that's part of coming in as soul groups with agreements, you know, with the thumbs up before we come into the body, saying, okay, we'll be this wave, you be next wave. And for the last 30 years, you know, apparently you and I have been on the same wave, and there are waves that came before us and waves that are happening after us. I feel that we all are given the opportunity to make use of our sensitivities and turn around and help awaken and teach the people behind us and the people ahead of us to offer us the same grace. So I do believe it's purposeful. I do believe there's a divine intervention and a plan unfolding, and that at this point in our juncture as a human species, we really are reorganizing to what my guides have been calling the cosmic human being, which is understanding that the nature of intuition and accessing guidance and bringing in these higher dimensional frequencies is natural and necessary.
Yeah, and I think if you put it in the bigger perspective, I've been studying books like Urantia and other fairly, I guess not real modern, but books that were written in the past. And what I came to understand is that at one point the energies coming into Earth were cut off. And those energies were that would connect us to our higher guidance, which exists outside of this dimension, on purpose, because an experiment was going on. The experiment, according to Urantia, was called the Luciferian Rebellion. And it was basically an experiment in free will. Lucifer is one of the administrative angels, petitioned the administration, according to Urantia, that their 36 planets be allowed to have more free will. And it was granted, and therefore the informational sources were cut off. Well, my understanding is that the ascension is the taking away of this Luciferian rebellion blockage. So probably every human on Earth will start to have real significant access to higher guidance that they didn't have before, and undergo awakening similar to what you and I had, if they're open to it. Of course, we do still have the ability to leave the planet through death if we don't want to undergo that process. And so, if you put it in that perspective, I think that, your teaching for the last 25 years, me doing this radio show for the last 17 years, is part of a movement allowing people to get this information and help start prepare for the ascension that's coming. The ascension meaning ascending in vibrational rate. In other words, we're no longer under the heel of the free will doctrine, which was an experiment, by the way. It wasn't a punishment. Some Southern Baptists would have you think it was a punishment. And according to your answer, I don't think it really was. I think it was truly an experiment, but one that led to way more suffering than what was expected. They just didn't expect the lack of guidance to lead to such problems, genocide and gas camps and, all the things, all the horrors that have occurred here. That wasn't expected. It was an interesting experiment, but because we're all immortal and eternal, nobody really died. Nobody really had, there was suffering, certainly, but nobody's existence was snuffed out. So we learned from all of that. And I, for one, am very happy that this whole experiment is coming to an end, because I personally think that you can get a lot better life for yourself and a lot more interesting life if you utilize the guidance that's available.
Well, I love everything you're sharing, and of course Urantia has such an ancient and phenomenal perspective on everything, and probably a lot of the ancient knowledge, not probably, I'm going to say, the ancient knowledge was planted for us to find now. It's not different from where we're at. It's sort of a guidepost for, like, hey, when y'all start waking up, you're going to need these notes,
yeah, right. So, right.
Oh, I didn't get the note, It's like, well, now you have the note, and here they are.
Right.
For a lot of people that I'm seeing, their lives, literally, part of the ascension process, the way I'm witnessing it with my clients is, mm-hmm. It's like you've lived this life, you know yourself to be this particular personality, you have this station in life, these roles and identities, relationships, and it's like someone came along with the zipper pull and unzipped your existence and starts to peel the layers off of you of that which is not the truth about you. So all these ego identifications and roles and lives that we've lived, like you said, you were making half a million and you were... went through all that schooling, and it's like, no, leave. You're like, okay.
So quit your job.
Any identities I had associated with that that's supposed to give me valuable just got taken away. And again, not as punishment, but because the waves of people waking up bring the field and hold the vibrational frequencies for the waves of people coming after them. So again, we're not special. We're just part of it, like waves coming to the shore, from the ocean.
Right.
We're just part of a group of waves. So what I'm seeing happening with a lot of people right now is, for some, it's like a state of anomie. It's like, I don't know. all of a sudden I don't belong in my marriage, or all of a sudden I'm not, you know, my kid left unexpectedly, mm-hmm. and suddenly I'm not in the role of mother anymore, or, you know, I had to quit my job, you know, I had to change my name, or all of a sudden I'm doing something I never had any interest in before in my whole mm-hmm. entire life. And part of the guidepost for that, that I've learned about, that I like to work with my clients with, is intention and visioning and sensing and feeling the quality of life that you're moving into, even if your logic can't figure out what it means. And for most of us, there's no way we're going to unfold into our new life through our logic. It has to be through the frequency of our guidance. And for some people, those are a bunch of empty words that don't mean anything and don't make them feel safe or give them pointers. So I'd like to just address that for a minute, if I may, and say, you know, sometimes we can't see where we're heading. We don't understand logically what's unfolding. We can't make sense of the wash of emotions coming through us because the emotional body gets so activated. We're releasing mm-hmm. not only our own history, we're releasing karma, we're releasing ancestral history, we're releasing global emotional body residue. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we can't see and we can't know what is going down. What we can do is meditate or spend a little time in deep, long breathing and relaxing. And using the imagination faculty, and this is where the left brain and right brain come together so sweetly, using the imagination faculty to sense into and feel the quality of life. So maybe I don't know where I'm heading or who I'm becoming or what's unfolding. I can sit and I can use my breath and my body and my imagination to feel the purity, the fulfillment, the gratitude, and the this feels good sensations, as if my life is already stationed there. And that helps to match our frequencies to the frequency that our guides are trying to bring us towards, even if we don't have any intellectual information by which to navigate.
Yeah, and I would encourage people to find, a small group, 3 to 5, maybe 7 people, to meet on a weekly basis or a biweekly basis and just sit in meditation with a group. Because it really, well, first of all, when you have an appointment to meet with a group of people, you actually show up and do it, whereas if you tell yourself you're going to meditate once a week, you may miss it. the discipline aspect is there. But just allowing this energy to come through the group and affect each one of you in a positive manner, not only for greater health, but also greater emotional stability during this time, it just really works. And you don't have to do anything. I mean, if you say you don't have to meditate, you don't know how to meditate, that's fine. Just simply, show up and focus on a point on the wall during this exercise. I mean, you don't really have to do much other than just show up. Spirit will do most of the work for you. It's not like you have to do anything. Yeah. It's like the point is you don't do anything and just enjoy the energy, the energy work that is done within you. There's a great deal, we hear there's a great deal of balancing and of benefit to us personally when we do this.
Yeah. You know, and there's a wonderful group, and it's free, and it's worldwide, and I just want to give them a little plug because it's a perfect thing, and it's called the Intenders for the Highest Good, and people can find that on the Internet very, very easily, and this is a group that comes together once a week to sit in presence, exactly what you're saying. It's like there's a little structure, a little positive guiding, and I'll tell you, sitting in that group every single week is like this luscious juiciness to my cells and my heart and my humanness and my divine nature that is just a yes. Yes, and when, you've heard the old biblical term where two or more are gathered, it's really true. When you're sitting in group energy, it amplifies the presence of spirit because there's a focus, there's an attention on that simply by the intention to come together and be together. Just come together and be together. It's so powerful.
So let's go through, you mentioned before clairaudience, clairsentience, clairvoyance. Let's go through the different things when it does unfold for people. It often starts with a feeling. Most of us have had a bad feeling or a good feeling when we meet a person or, start to walk down an alley. You know, you might have a bad feeling and turn around or something. Let's talk a little bit about what that looks like when you start to operate at a higher vibrational level.
Okay, great. So that makes me want to bring up the word empathic, because most human beings are naturally empathic, and an empathic person can pick up the feelings, the emotions, the thoughts, and the vibration of everyone and everything around them. And sometimes what's confusing for a person who is empathic and doesn't realize that they are is they think it's all them. So let's say, you know, there's a party happening or a gathering happening and you walk into the room and you just look around and one person, you feel really drawn to them. There's a magnetism, there's a brightness, there's a feel-good feeling when you see them and everything in your body lights up and goes, wow, that's a fantastic person, or gee, that person's bringing a lot of bright energy to this party. I wonder who they are. And you might similarly look across the room and see someone that you just, I just want to stay away from that person tonight, and you don't even know why. Now, when your empathic nature is kicking in and conscious with it, that can be the experience, you know, the intuitive voices there, the feeling sense of things, that's the somatic experience. But you can also be a person who's empathic or sensitive and not understand that's what you're doing. And maybe you happen to walk over by the person who's a really bright, vibrant light, and you just feel elated and lifted up, and you want to be around them all night long, and you feel great. And, you know, you don't know why, but part of it is they're resonating what within you is the good and high frequency vibration, but you keep thinking it's them. Right? You don't own that's about you. Or you can go join a collection of people and maybe two of them are standing in that circle and they're really angry about something, but they're smiling on the outside and they're doing, you know, superficial chat. But there's this feeling of angst and anger in the space, and you think it's you and you think it's a topic or an issue that you wanted to leave at home and not bring to the party. And what's happening there is that person's anger or contracted energy is resonating what is happening in you, in which case you're picking up their energy and they're just vibing you out. And so learning the path of that through your somatic experiencing, you know, using the body as a feeling guide is really very helpful and important to us, you know, to discern. Ultimately, you know, if we really want to stretch it, we're all one. There's only one life happening, and we look like a lot of different bodies. And as we're going through the ascension process, it's useful to know what is mine that's being resonated into stimulation. Am I really angry, or is this person really upset, and I'm picking up their energy? And in which case, how do I ground myself and have boundaries so that as an empath, I can go out into the world, maintain my own field of presence and integrity, and be able to sense and contact vibrational fields in other people, but not wear them and take them on and get confused and think it's me. So that's one way of using.
You can also, when you're really empathic, go into Walmart or into a party situation and pick up other people's backaches, headaches, bursitis. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing what you can pick up. I did that for a while, not knowing that I knew it wasn't my pain because, you know, I didn't have that kind of pain, but it was interesting figuring out how to get rid of it. One time my father was having a real bad case of bursitis, and I was talking to him on the phone, and he felt great. His pain disappeared, but I got it on the opposite hip. He had it on the left hip. I got it on the right hip. So I'm sitting there limping, and well, I go and take a Motrin because I don't know what the hell to do. Later on, I figured out how to not get it. But I would just take on all sorts of stuff from people. They'd feel great, and then I'd have it. That was interesting.
And people do that in their relationships, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, relationships is a big topic. So, you know, maybe you're in this marriage that you started 10, 15, 20 years ago, and sure, there's natural evolution and people change and grow, but also if you're working things from a vibrational perspective, there's also, who is this person that I've been calling my husband or wife, that is sentient being, that is a soul incarnate who is ascending, and can I let go of all my pictures and projections of who they are so they can be free in the field in our relationship to spread their wings and fly and be whoever it is they're evolving into now? And can I afford myself the same thing? And so I've seen a lot of marriages. You know, sometimes people just go ahead and get divorced. But a really fun thing that I've seen is they let the whole entire relationship, as it has been known, have a burial ceremony. And then they stand present for what's unfolding now. And the whole quality and dynamic of who they are together and the sacredness of their marriage is a completely different relationship. And that can happen over and over and over again if two people are willing to give space, let go, and evolve together. That's also fascinating to watch.
Yeah, there is a great deal of problems with relationships. When I went through a rapid change, my mother got very upset with me because she felt that I was changing way too fast. And it threatened her sense of who I was, and you know it. But my father wasn't worried about it. He was much more intuitive, much more in tune with his own spiritual sight and hearing. So he was able to allow me to be whatever I was. And actually, he would often come to me for healings and ask for healings because he knew that.
Yeah.
He knew that was one of my new talents, and he had use of that. Whereas for my mother, because she was more wanting the relationship to stay the same, we had a good relationship, so she didn't want to lose that. And she's since passed on, and I've had an opportunity to talk with her, and it's just very interesting. Now she understands what I went through, and she understands why it was so important that I go through it. And she even advised me to meditate more, which was hilarious because, you know, in when she was alive, she didn't understand meditation at all.
I know. My relationship with my dad, now that he's been gone for 12 years, is so much better than when we were on the physical plane together.
There you go.
I just did a lot of headbutting. Lots of headbutting.
Yeah.
Well, and that's happening right now with my son and I. He's about to be 18. And, you know, there's the normal pattern of the son has to, you know, metaphorically kill the mother to become free, and that whole rite of passage, and that's very human and emotional body based and developmentally based and understood. It happens that with me being as plugged in as I am, and him being as plugged in as he is, because he surpasses me, we literally can't live together. Like, literally can't live together, because who we were when he came through and was born and all the people we've been together over the years has bound us in history, and we're both shifting so fast that we literally had to, like, stop living together because we were wigging each other out with the discordance in our vibrations, both shifting so fast at the same time out of who we've both known ourselves to be. So we had to let go of the known mom and the known son to give space, and I'm very curious to see, you know, where we're going to flow and land when we're back in touch again, which I anticipate to be fairly soon. And like, we understood it. We both were like, you know what? I'm just like, I can't be around you anymore, and you can't be around me anymore, and we just need a lot of space so that our cosmic nature can ground in fully and we can evolve into who we're becoming and not hold each other back. And if that can be done with compassion, and if one can reach for humor and grace, then there is no loss. It's a no-loss kind of love. But when there's a lot of unconsciousness in the space, then it can be very hurt and harmful and come from a place of judgment and blame, which is never useful for anybody. So I just want to give a shout-out to any mamas out there whose teenage sons or daughters are going through the war. They're going through much more than the physiological, biological morph. Chances are they're going through the ascension morph as well. And that calls for a really safe container for everybody to hold space for that.
Yeah, that's I was talking with someone the other day who said that teenagers now are going through something much different than we went through. It is like a double whammy, and I'm not around teenagers, so I don't know firsthand that what's happening. But I think that you're probably right. They're undergoing their normal biological change, which can be challenging enough, and then on top of it, increasing in vibrational rate very quickly.
So, yeah. Well, a lot of teenagers are really at a much younger age, like in at least here in Colorado, in the sixth grade, or starting to use drugs and alcohol to numb themselves out because they don't know how to handle the intensity of energy and emotions. And so, mm-hmm. you know, it's real prevalent. I don't know how far around the country, but I know it's pretty prevalent here in Colorado. And, you know, I have to say it, Colorado became legal with the use of marijuana. And that doesn't mean that you want a teenager numbing out their system and killing off their brain cells before they're fully developed. So, yeah. Even though that it has a medicinal purpose for cancer and anti-inflammation and the healing oils and all that, which is great, we really want to give our kids a chance to fully develop all their brain cells and make informed adult choices about using something like marijuana for wellness if they choose that. But, you know, a lot of kids, the energy is so intense, what's happening cosmically and globally, that they have to escape. So again, you know, that always makes me want to come back to the parents and say, if you're interested in your own awakening, it's useful not only for you, it's useful for your offspring as well, because wouldn't it be glorious to be raised by a parent who's awakened as opposed to asleep with what's going mm-hmm. on in our transformation as a species, you know?
Right, right. Well, I want to switch up to clairaudience. One of my friends the other day said that they were laying in their bed and they heard their name. I mean, there's nobody else in the room, nobody else in the house, heard their name being called. Now, this is not that uncommon now. Out of the blue, hearing often your name. So what do you make of that, and what's happening with clairaudience?
Well, of course, I have to tell a little story. One of the songs that was downloaded to me, because I believe the songs exist in their entirety already in the ethers, and we're just given them, they come through us. About 20 years ago, it was 3 in the morning, and I was in a sound sleep, and this female voice kept calling my name, and I finally woke up. Yeah, I was a little resistant, turned on the nightlight, and she said, I want you to take notes. And I was grumbling, like, well, who are you, and why are you waking
All right.
me up?
Why are you waking me up?
Yeah, this is, right? That's the complaint. Why are you waking me up? And she said, this is Mother Earth, and I have a song for the people, all of my children on the planet, and I want you to scribe it. So I said, okay, you know, and I mean, and within minutes, this whole entire aria of lyrics mm-hmm. came to, and I never changed any of the lyrics, and she called it Mother's Song. It's her story to us, of our position as midwives to her light body during the time of the ascension. And she told me in about 20 years from now, this song will need to come forward because the frequency is for that time. So that's in this time right now. And mm-hmm. so, you know, having your name called by spirit and being asked to pay attention is very, very common these days. It's our response to that. Like, why are you bothering me? That's really not the best response, you know?
No.
The clairaudience is when our guides, maybe deceased relatives, our spirit guides, you know, spirit beings are calling us, usually from a soul level. It's sort of like an invitation for us to listen with all of our beingness to the guidance that they're trying to bring forth to benefit us. Our guidance only ever has our highest good and the greatest benevolence in mind for us. We're never, you know, you're listening to your guidance. If the messages and the feelings and the sensations you're getting are life-giving and affirming. And you know that if you're hearing negative, scary stuff, you feel uncomfortable or afraid, that you're not actually attuning to your guidance. You may be picking up some lost spirits who are trying mm-hmm. to find their way to the light. And that kind of discernment is really, really important for people to pay attention to. So clair audience is the capacity to hear interdimensionally. And also, another way that clair audience can happen is we might be driving along and the radio's on in the car, and we start humming this song, the radio's off, and then we just feel the impulse to put the radio on, and lo and behold, there's the song we're humming. Well, that's on purpose. There's no accident to that.
Right.
And that's another way our guides can work with us clairaudiently is let's have her hum this little ditty, and then we'll give her confirmation that she's by having it on the radio when she turns on.
Right. Yeah, and often the meaning of the song is important to what you're going through. There's
always.
Another, there's another example of clairaudience I want to mention. I worked in the I was in the military, and I worked in the Burke Army burn unit, which is, you know, a really incredible burn unit because it has all of our military burns in it. And one patient came in, and she was woken up out of a dead sleep in her house, and a voice said, "Get out now." And, I mean, really forceful. So she just was in her nightgown. She ran out the front door, and as she was about 10, 20 feet from the house, the entire house blew up, burning her back. That's why she was in the burn unit. So what I want to tell people is if you get that kind of message, sometimes it's do something now, or the other one I like is absolutely not when you're thinking about going somewhere, and you hear absolutely not, just believe that. Don't argue with it. Just don't do what you were going to do, because there could be some real danger right around the corner if you continue in that direction. So just know that your guides can literally talk to you in an audible voice, audible to you, maybe not to the person next to you, but give you really, really important information in times of emergency.
Yep. Gosh, I have too many stories and I won't go into them, but this one little one, I remember once living in New Hampshire, I was in a deep sleep and this voice started talking to me and said, "You're sleeping too deeply, get up and get out." And I wouldn't wake up. And finally, the voice was very insistent and said, "You're going too deep, get up and get out." And it was almost like the sound of the voice was so loud that it shook me. I woke up and the house was burning down.
Really?
And I was going into, you know, the
situation
from the smoke. Yep, and I got up and I bolted out of that house, and the police, you know, the fire department was there in seconds flat.
Wow.
I didn't know. I was going on.
But listen to the voice.
You always listen to the voice.
Whatever
you're
saying, do it.
Listen to the voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that is wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's clairaudience, and I mean, and when you develop clairaudience, like writing lyrics, I've written lyrics before. That's something because you hear it. I wrote a couple of books. I wrote a book called The Naked Truth About Breast Implants and channeled most of it. Other creative writing projects can be done through clairaudience. And then you can read for other people. You know, when other people want to know information, you can hear from their higher self and guides and angels what they need to hear.
And it's also funny when I'm doing readings for people, they're always blown away by the clarity and the precision. And I always tell them, but that's because your higher self is talking to me, telling me what you need to hear to recognize yourself.
Yeah.
It's not magic. It's genuinely, it's a natural thing to be able to do that, you know?
Right. It is. Well, let's talk a little bit about clairvoyance. This is vision.
Okay.
This is seeing things not in the third dimension, but seeing them sometimes superimposed on the third dimension, and sometimes seeing them as a flash that is even more real than the third dimension. It's very interesting when it happens.
Yes. So clairvoyance is very much exactly what you said, the capacity to see interdimensionally. And I always like to bring things down to, you know, your everyday person so that this connects and makes sense. So sometimes you could be sitting there talking to someone, and all of a sudden you see this spark of light over their right shoulder or left shoulder. It's purple flash or white light flashing. You think it's your eyes, and it's like, well, it is your eyes, but you're seeing, and probably you are seeing one of their guides in that instant. Or if you're, looking out, maybe you're sitting somewhere out in nature, and you have a far expanse ahead of you, and you're able to look out, you may start to see the field of life force around trees and around mountains or around, birds, where you're literally able to see interdimensionally into the living vibrational frequency of the life that's around. Those things happen. Sometimes clairvoyance can look like, wow. Like when my dad died, my son was 5. He was sitting in the back seat of the car, and my dad died unexpectedly, though I was given a vision the year before of how he was going to die, and he died exactly how I saw him dying. His spirit was in the passenger seat of the front car, so I'm driving. Mm-hmm. My dad is sitting next to me in his spirit body, and my 5-year-old's in the back, and he doesn't understand death, and he looks up at me and goes, Mommy, why is Grandpa Richard wearing a halo?
Yeah, there you go.
So, we can also see deceased relatives, we can see guides, mm-hmm. we can see energy forms, we can see etheric beings. I mean, we have the capacity to see, and why is that beneficial and useful? Because, again, it's another way that our guidance comes to connect with us to give us an offering of helpful mm-hmm. support.
Yeah, I've had people come to me like that, and then I look at them and I go, are you dead? And they go, yep, because I didn't even know they died. But, because they're right there talking to me, I know that they're probably, they could be bilocating, I assume, but most of these people don't have a history of bilocation. So, and it's just always interesting because that's often the first way I find out somebody has deceased is they come in. But, basically, if they know who can hear them, once they leave the body, the physical body, they do discern who is able to hear them and who isn't. And we know that because we're being told that in session. I mean, they're letting us know that if you have the ability to hear and see them, they know that. And so often they will come and speak to you, especially if they knew you in life, because many of the people that they knew in life, they're around them, but they're unable to communicate with them. So, seek out people that maybe are not, immediate family members. Like when I was, the one I remember real well was that I had a family we were close to, childhood friends, and it was their father that died. And so when he appeared in my room, I knew that the only reason he would be there is if he'd passed. And so I guess it's interesting. They can figure out who can hear him and who can't. And sometimes very important messages come through for the living. There could be things that they really want to communicate that they're unable to communicate except through somebody who can hear.
And for people who do readings, I don't know how it is for you, but, there are times where I still think I'm making something up. If someone comes
there,
deceased relative comes along and is giving me these messages, I don't know anything about them. I'll just say, look, this is what this person's saying, and this is what they're showing me, and it doesn't make any sense to me, but maybe it has relevance for you.
Right.
And the person I'm doing the reading for starts bawling or laughing their butts off, and I'm clueless, I'm just the messenger.
Well, that's true. Just the messenger. Now, we just have a few more minutes left. Before we go any further, can you give your contact information?
Oh, sure. So, my favorite way to be contacted is by email or phone call. So my phone number is 720-346-2383, and my email address is D-A-N as in Nancy, A-E, Danae, then the word breathing as inhaling, exhaling, then the word life as in the life we live. So DanaeBreathingLife@gmail.com.
Great. So we've talked about clairvoyance, but the next thing is, I think it's called, what is the one where you know everything? What is that called?
See, I think that's clairsentience.
I think
clairaudience is hearing, right? Clairvoyance is sight, and clairsentience is like just this knowingness that shows up in yourself. And it's also very somatically oriented as well, yeah.
So what I imagine is that when we die, we have, if any, we have a thought, then we will get this clairsentience. We will know the answer immediately. At least that's what my deceased relatives have told me, that anybody around you who has died, because you know them real well, you can use them to get information. In other words, say, like I've got a patient, I'm not sure what's wrong with them, I can concentrate and ask them or ask my higher self. There's many ways to do it, but the people who are no longer in body have the ability to access what we call the Akashic Records, which is the record of everything, and give you the information. So that's one way you can do it. Of course, you can also just do it through your higher self. But the idea is that once we die, we do have clairsentience. And sometimes when we're alive, we have clairsentience too, but it's not as common.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree with that. I actually turned to my dad. I mean, you know, I've been working with my angels, teachers, and guides and inner realm, you know, guides for ever since the harmonic convergence. When my dad died, I thought it would be interesting to ask him. You know, it's like,
yeah.
You know, so what's going on? You know, if you see like an eagle's vision, an eagle's bird's eye view into my life, what do you see? And do you have any offer of direction, or is this path better than that path? Just to see what he would bring, you know, from the dimension that he was in. And I found that very useful.
It was. My dad showed up. Sometimes I overextend myself, either surgically, you know, because I've done really long surgeries or don't get enough sleep or whatever, but usually physically get exhausted. And I was sitting on the bed, and my dad appeared, and he said, "You're getting dangerously close to the edge again." And then within the next few hours, I got deathly ill. I mean, deathly ill, which was, you know.
Yeah.
So when your deceased relatives show up and start giving you warnings, you ought to pay attention to them. I wish he'd shown up a little bit earlier so I could have done something about it. But, you know, it was like he is there telling me, "You're about to fall off again."
And isn't it interesting, the word again, because I think it could be possible that those of us who are really passionate about serving tend to overdo. We tend to bring and I think part of it is we have so much access to all the interdimensional realities that there's a magnetism to be more in the light etheric body than the physical dense body anyway, because we're traversing the planes all the time. So, you know, like going over the edge and letting the body die, it's not that we're intentionally looking to do that. It's just familiar.
No.
Not having the body is familiar as well as having it.
Well, it's like the mind writing checks the body can't cash, and you know, you just tend to do that. Well, we're coming up on the end of our hour. Would you like to give your contact information one more time?
Sure. So my phone number is 720-346-2383, and my email is Danae, D-A-N-A-E, Breathing Life, Breathing, Inhaling, Exhaling Life, the life we live, Danae, breathinglife@gmail.com. It's been wonderful to share this time with you, Susan.
It's been a lot of fun. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah,
well,
we've
been talking with Danae Shante. Please take a look at her website as well. She's got a lot of great music videos up. And if you are so guided, get in touch with her for her workshops and her readings. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Be well.
Bye-bye. This is Dr. Susan Kalb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Next week, we'll be interviewing Alexis Brooks on conscious musing, and then Dr. Camden Clay on targeted muscle testing. Please join us next week for Temple of Health Radio Show.